I have one question for you.
What?
How could you do this to me?
Question mark. You just learned about that.
I just learned about
it. I have a question for you. Okay, yeah. What would Olivia Benson do? Natalie got me this really nice bracelet that said, what would Olivia Benson do?
WWOBD.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Lots of questions today.
So many questions.
I mean, I didn't even get to the doc yet. Wow.
I know.
Lots of questions.
Hi, girl.
Hey, girl.
Oh, my goodness, fam. Hey, join us over there on the Patreon.
Patreon.
So we do this thing where we make bonus content. We also offer some, like, you know, drag bingo.
Oh, right.
And virtual Patreon happy hours.
Right.
So it's called Patreon. You can subscribe at $5. You get over 400 full ad-free bonus episodes to download and binge the second you sign up.
Also, the drag bingo is $5 and up. Just, you know, whatever.
All the good stuff is $5 and up.
Yeah.
And join the Facebook group. It's the True Crime Obsessed Podcast discussion group, and it's very active and it's very fun, and it's a great place to meet new friends and meet new friends in your area. That's happening a lot lately.
Oh yeah, totally.
There's meetups happening and
all over the place.
All the good stuff.
Lots of good stuff.
So much. Okay, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about sex lies and the college cult. This is about the cult happenings that happened at Sarah Lawrence and the abuse there.
Yep.
Who is Larry Ray? Nobody really knows.
Larry Ray is a multifaceted human being. A lot of political connections. This perfect dad. Larry Ray now is accused of running a sex cult for over a decade.
It was about using sex as sort of a tool to destabilize them, make them uncomfortable. It was a tactic.
His entire world was based on a fraud.
Clearly, something wrong is being done to her by this guy.
He's creating a whole new reality, which is what most cults end up doing. They just couldn't take it anymore.
So here's a note. Hulu has a series about this called Stolen Youth Inside the Cult of Sarah Lawrence. I highly, highly recommend it. We hear directly from a lot of students and victims and survivors that we'll be talking about today.
Yes.
But the case is so, so highly requested for us that we thought a good compromise would be to do like the standalone doc.
Yeah.
Instead of putting it on Patreon, because we have like a ton to get to on Patreon too.
We do.
But
oh my God.
I really, Stolen Youth, the Cult Inside, and we didn't like choose this because we think it's better.
No.
We're just trying to compromise and make everybody happy here. But that is incredibly well made as well with a lot of the survivor voices.
Can I tell you that I almost went to Sarah Lawrence?
That tracks.
Honestly,
yeah.
I mean, I went to Emerson, which is very much like Sarah Lawrence.
Sure.
The only reason I went to Emerson over Sarah Lawrence was because Emerson gave me a lot of money and I was poor.
Right.
They even say, like, the students at Sarah Lawrence, they're like the artsy kids. It has an amazing writing program. It has a really good acting directing program. But yeah, I almost went there.
Cool. Well, you didn't.
I didn't.
But these people did.
And it would have been a lot earlier than these people were there.
Not in like 20...
Not in 2010.
12.
No.
Yeah, okay, great.
So we meet Ezra Marcus. He was a young journalist looking for a story to work on. And he had a friend that had just gone to their five-year reunion for having gone to Sarah Lawrence.
Right.
And the people at this reunion are gossiping about what had happened to a group of students they had gone to school with.
Yeah. And it's like heavier than gossip. It's kind of like, hear about it? Oh, she was in my whatever class. Like, oh my God.
Ezra also went to Sarah Lawrence, but I don't think during the time of all of the cult happenings.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
So there was this website that he finds.
Yeah.
You know, I poison people because my mother told me to. I'm a liar. I'm working for the government.
Yeah.
There's this link to this video, and it's footage of this woman named Claudia. And the on-screen text says, this video was made under duress.
Yes.
And there's a guy behind the camera directing Claudia.
I mean, like, we didn't even need that on-screen. It is so clear that she is not happy to be there.
And first, are you making this by your own free will?
Yes.
Anybody pay you?
No.
Anybody threaten you?
No.
Anybody coerce you?
No.
No one paid you, right? You're not forced?
Right.
Say it. And it's like, oh, what? Can we save Claudia, please? Like, is Claudia okay?
I mean, that's what Ezra says. Ezra's like, if you have to say to the camera, I'm making this of my own free will, you probably are not.
Yeah, and Claudia looks sick. She looks browbeaten. She looks exhausted.
Yes. She's got like a bruise on her forehead.
Yeah. And he's making Claudia say all these like crazy things that she's like, you know, she's trying to poison people with mercury. She's putting it in people's food. And you're like, this is the beginning of this. Like, where are we going?
And like, what kind of cult leader who's making you make this video thinks that any of this is going to look believable to anybody? Why would you then go put it on a website? It doesn't make any sense.
We've lost it. We've lost it completely. So Ezra starts reaching out to people who were named on the super super weird website.
Because he decides this is the story he's going to work on. This is all relating back to the people gossiping about what happened at Sarah Lawrence.
Like, yeah.
He says, this is the first time I encountered Larry Ray. Larry Ray's the guy behind the camera.
He's the bad guy.
He's the bad guy. He's the cult leader. He's the one to stay away from.
Right.
So we jump back to 2010. We're at Sarah Lawrence. We meet the two, like, big other journalist talking heads. It's Pilar Melendez. She's a crime reporter for the Daily Beast. And Shayna Jacobs is a reporter for the Washington Post. And they're the ones who tell us all about Sarah Lawrence. It's a liberal arts college. It's very fancy. It's in Bronxville. It's like 20 minutes outside of Manhattan. Mm-hmm.
They say it's very hard to get into and it attracts creative types.
And that's very, very true.
Yeah.
It's the fall semester 2010 and we learn about Talia Ray.
She had this group of friends that she moved in with sophomore year into a campus housing.
And they were freestanding houses, all kind of arranged in a row, pathway from this little forest. They were gonna have fun, hang out, make food together, throw some parties. Classic sophomore year of college stuff.
They were campus housing, but they were technically kind of like off-campus houses. It's not like a dorm where it's a building. You swipe a key card. There's like a security guard there or someone there. You just have your key. I lived in an apartment like this off-campus in the Bronx for 2 years.
We talked about this off mic because I went to school in Boston. So I lived like in a big city. It felt like an apartment building, but it was a dorm. Mine was very locked. Nothing like this could ever happen in my dorm.
So there was someone official. There was like a security guard or something.
There's a desk and there were like desk sitters. It was like a work-study job.
Yeah.
And you had to show your ID to get in. Like, this is different. They show them to us. They are houses in the middle of what looks like a woods.
It's a little secluded,
on
for sure.
Camp. So, like, you can come and go as you please. It's meant to be more independent living.
Yeah.
Travel down the road, back again. Girl, Rocket Money is back. You know I'm obsessed with Rocket Money. You know that I use it.
Yes. I have to tell you, today on the way here, I got an email that I wanted to unsubscribe to. And when I clicked unsubscribe, they made me go through all of these hoops.
Yes.
And I was like, and I thought of Rocket Money. I was like, I need to just go to the Rocket Money app.
Right, because fam, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings. I use it. I just had to go through my Amex because Steve doesn't monitor this one.
Yeah.
And I had to get Rocket Money to tell me all of the things I'm subscribed to and figure out which ones to unsubscribe from. 98% I unsubscribe.
And I'm a big visual person, so
yes.
Rocket Money has all of your subscriptions in one place.
Yes.
So you can kind of comb through and be like, what is that? I don't want that.
Totally.
Get rid of it, Rocket Money.
And it shows you what the subscription is, and it just says cancel subscription for you, and you just click the yes button, and then you're done. Rocket Money handles the rest.
Wait, also, some of the rest
please.
Could be that Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you by up to 20%. They are working for you.
I know. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with customer service for you. That's
Are you
why,
kidding?
I know, but that's why I did it. I don't have time to deal with all
this. I was
going to
say, they're helping you save time and money, and they're decluttering that inbox.
I know.
I can't handle it anymore.
Fam, Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
Yes. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/obsessed.
That's rocketmoney.com/obsessed. RocketMoney.com/obsessed. I just got another email saying we canceled newspapers.com for
Bye.
You.
Bye. Who needs it?
Goodbye. These kids are all looking forward to living together. They're all friends. We meet them all here. One is Daniel Levin. He's from New Jersey. He's sort of shy. He's happy to have this group of friends. One is Santos Rosario. He's Talia's former boyfriend. The reason we're talking about Talia is because Talia is Larry's daughter.
Right, the bad guy's
She's
daughter.
She's the bad guy's daughter. She's at the center of this whole thing. So just that's why we're giving all of these people as they relate to her.
Yeah.
There's Claudia Drury. She's from L.A. She's super creative. She likes to tell stories. She's gregarious, but she's sort of like a shelter childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Isabella Pollack. She's from San Antonio, Texas, very far away from home, pretty shy, pretty sheltered. And she and Talia quickly bonded and became good friends.
Right. And now Dr. Yanya's here.
Yeah.
She's a cult expert. We love her. She was in Heaven's Gate.
Yes.
She's in the Heaven's Gate.
Like,
doc.
I know that we have seen her before.
She's all over TikTok. I follow her.
Is she?
She's great.
Oh,
she's
God.
Really
she
great.
Was born for TikTok.
She's great because she also wasn't.
Yeah, yeah.
So
right,
she's
right.
just like.
It's like my mother being on TikTok, but
yeah,
like with
but
a lot of
like,
shit to say.
Let me tell you about narcissism.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Dr. Yanya, tell me everything.
Yanya.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, totally. So, but she's great. And she's like a true expert on this.
Yes. And her whole thing is that, like, these students were 18, 19 years old. They all come from, quote, good families, good academic backgrounds.
What's important to remember, the human brain is not fully developed until you're 25 years old. So that's a very vulnerable period.
They definitely were all trying to figure out who they were and where they belonged in this world at college.
And everyone's trying to figure out who the hell they are. It's a very sort of like transformative, curious period.
We just did this with the cult of Mother God. Like, people are very susceptible to being in cults when they're at transition points in their lives. And college is very much that. At Emerson, we used to joke about it because they would tell us not to join cults at every given opportunity.
What?
Yes. I mean, it was a major part of our orientation was a week long, and we had like things that we had to go to and mixers, and every opportunity they're like, and don't join cults, by the way, just don't join a cult while you're here. Thank you so much.
Who joined a cult while they were there? So that had to have happened
honestly,
at least once
before I'm sure
for them
you're right.
to be like, and the cult thing. Because I've never...
Yeah, but people know that this is a time when you are... I mean, even I, as outgoing and whatever, like, as I am, like, I had a really hard time my first semester of college.
Sure.
Like, finding your people and feeling like you're never going to make friends.
Of
and,
course.
You know, like, you're supposed to be having this college experience. I mean, everyone is susceptible to somebody swooping in and being like, I will be your protector and I have all the answers.
Of course. And so, because we always do say, right, like, everyone... No one joins a cult. They're just, like, looking for something. And here, it's not people who are, like, you know, disillusioned with the world or politics or government or whatever. These kids who are, they're at the precipice of something
totally.
And they're kind of like, which way do I go?
And they're confused and they're lonely. The loneliness, I think, is the biggest part.
So Talia was constantly talking about her amazing father. He's incredible. She idolized him. He's so smart, super important, has so many connections. The thing about her father, God, he just constantly...
I love him!
She painted him as someone who had been wrongly pursued by law enforcement because he had powerful enemies.
She described him as some political martyr who'd taken on corruption and been punished and was in jail.
Obviously, all these enemies are constantly, don't worry, you'll meet him. He's incredible. Yeah. But like, he's constantly being wrongfully accused.
And in addition to that, he is her savior.
He's a hero.
He had this, she had this horrible mother that he left and she got custody, but he stole her in the middle of the night to get her away from this crazy, horrible woman.
They were on the run. Now, I want to say, it sounds like we're doing, but I know Talia is a victim here.
Yeah.
But as Dr. Yanya tells us, most of the time in cults, victims almost always also become perpetrators.
Yes.
So Talia was 100% manipulated by her father since the age of at least 7 years old when they got divorced. But she becomes a major recruiter.
Yes.
So we're not making fun of her because she's been through hell, but she really becomes a major, major point in this, and that kind of can't be ignored. That this is a many things are true at once scenario.
Absolutely. And I was thinking about her mother being like, see, I told you.
I told you.
I told you. So Talia's obsessed with her dad. One day she tells her friends, her dad is getting out of prison. He's only in prison because he's a political martyr and he saved me by kidnapping me from my mom.
Right.
But he's getting out today. He's going to come and stay with us just for one night.
And then all the friends are like, then he just kind of stayed. He set up shop in their common room and basically made himself the father figure of the dorm. Red flag.
Now,
major red flag.
I understand that this did happen. Somebody make it make sense.
I don't understand.
Because you and I both have been to college. I lived in a dorm. I lived in a suite in a dorm that had a common room. If somebody's fucking dad moved in, and by the way, they are not freshmen. These people have found their tribe. Mm-hmm. They're with their tribe. So like this older man moves into the common room.
He'd make dinner for everyone. Or you'd order food, these kind of lavish meals. You know, you're a college student, that's awesome. So kids would kind of hang out with him and listen to him talk, and he'd give these almost sort of like lectures at night in the common room.
People would be like eating their burritos or whatever, and he'd be giving lectures.
Who wants this? This is the part of the cult that I will never understand, especially in the beginning. Who does not want to be out with their friends tonight? Who would rather be sitting here listening to Shitbag's dad give a fucking speech about being the best person you can be?
Because what he's doing is he's identifying all of these, quote, problems that people have and telling them that he's the only one who can fix it. So he's already isolating them. But like in a normal scenario, I know we don't like the word normal anymore, but I'm using it anyway. Sorry, everybody. In a normal situation, the dad doesn't want to be surrounded by 19-year-old kids and living in their living room. And the 19-year-olds shouldn't want their roommate's dad there. Like
the dad
shouldn't want to be there.
Exactly.
The core testimony from the roommates is saying, like, look, it was a weird time. Like, a lot of them had never done laundry before. Like, they were anxious about being away from home. And, like, how lucky for them that they have this amazing self-help expert.
You're never going to convince me.
Who knows? Like, he has the answer, and he's very persuasive. And burrito, come on.
I know.
You're scared. You're a little anxious. And here's this guy. Maybe you miss your parents, and here's a parent here. And Talia's been talking about him for 2 years. And it's kind of like he's a celebrity before he even arrives.
It's why I would probably not be ever in a cult. whenever I'm confronted with self-help shit, it drives me crazy. I don't want to be
because you got it all figured out.
No, because it feels like you're trying to sell me something.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
Sell me this pen.
It makes me feel like you're trying to sell me a bill of goods.
Sure.
So not only would I not be in the cult, you're fucking lucky I didn't live in this suite with you all, because I would have shut this down. I would have been the kid. And we learn later that like there are kids that are going to the school that are complaining about this, and Sarah Lawrence does not do anything about it.
They don't do shit.
But like he had to believe that all of these kids not only wanted to hear the shit that he had to say, but also weren't going to be so annoyed. Like, now I also can't sit in my common room.
Right.
Do you know how much room and board costs when you go to a private school like Sarah Lawrence?
Yeah, I mean, a lot.
Yes.
So, you know, how lucky for them, right? The self-help expert is literally in their house.
For the sake of go along, get along, I'll agree with you.
Fine. I'm just saying. So they
I can't imagine a college-age Jillian would have enjoyed this either.
No, but they all start confiding in him.
Well,
whatever
that's
he's doing
thing.
Is working, right?
Yes.
And so they're talking about their depression and their family issues, and they're opening up to him and being vulnerable, and he's like, this is fucking perfect.
He's basically just taking notes. They're giving him all the ammunition, and I'm not blaming the kids. I totally understand. Like you always say, nobody joins a cult.
Yeah. I didn't coin that, by the way. I stole it from Dr. Yanya, probably.
But the red flags are everywhere.
Right. And of course, like, he has a name for it. He calls it his quest for potential. It's
like,
his, like,
enough.
Theory and his process.
He framed it as helping them optimize and helping them get over their insecurities and become happier, more effective people.
Larry promised young people who were very confused and felt alienated that he was the person who was going to pull them out of it.
But so essentially what he's saying is, you're in trouble. You can't trust everyone around you. I'm amazing. I'm the only one can help you. Aren't you so lucky that you have me?
The thing is, like, he must be conveying that in a way that feels loving and
must be.
Yeah. Because, I can't, like, I gotta do my fucking lit homework.
Right.
You know
and
what I mean?
It's weird. These cult leaders or these pieces of shit, whatever, they never film them being nice.
Right.
The camera
only
turns on when they're being abusive.
You know, Dr. Yanya actually does make that make sense later.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, why would anybody film this? And then she answers the question.
Even film the nice parts.
I know. Well, because she's saying they're such deep narcissists that they need to be able to film the worst of it so they can show themselves in the world what they're able to get other people to do. But I want to say, too, it's pointed out here that he's already planting the seeds that, like, I'm going to fix the evils that your evil parents and your evil society fucked you up
with.
And
they're so evil, you don't even see them.
Exactly.
Let me explain why your parents are evil. I know you think you love them.
Yeah.
You don't.
No.
So you're like, what the fuck? But Dr.
You
Yanya,
don't love your parents.
Super
dog.
No. And I'm like, what? Get away.
I know.
Like, get away. Don't tell me how I feel. That makes me crazy.
It makes me crazy.
But Dr. Yanya, another good quote, she says he was very good at myth-making about himself.
Yes.
Because he's telling, you know, I have experience in law enforcement, the FBI, the military. He helped end the war in Kosovo.
He's like,
related to Al Capone.
He worked with the DOD, the FBI,
also,
the CIA.
Who cares?
The CIA.
Fuck Al Capone. I'll say it.
Yeah, exactly.
Who cares?
I once talked about the mafia like that here, and you got really scared and mad at me.
You know what? There are like 80 podcasts about the mafia now. Everyone's talking shit.
I know. But I'm just like, it sounds as though he's like, I used to work for the THC and the DBD and the DVD.
And all right.
I know. He's just making it up and they're all just like laying at his feet like it's the cult of Mother God.
And this guy, Frank, FBI Frank, is like, Larry lied so much that he didn't even know what the truth is.
Totally.
Larry Ray is someone who can become whoever you want him to be and whoever he needs you to think he is.
And he can become, quote, whoever
he needs you to think he is.
And I'm like, oh.
I know.
It's over.
I know.
This is it. It's terrifying.
I wonder then, what would he have been for me? You know what I mean? If he can if he's that chameleon-like and can get anybody.
Well, we don't hear about the kids who showed up for burrito night. I'm fixated on the burritos.
I know. I was seeing Caesar salads.
Okay, great. Fixated
being
on
whatever I need it to be. He would have been a Caesar salad.
Like, whatever. But you don't hear about the kids who are like, well, I'm out. No burritos worth this.
Yeah.
We don't hear about them and they don't sit down for this because they weren't here long enough.
We do hear that kids were complaining to the fucking school.
Right.
There is a 50-year-old man living in a common room.
It's fucking weird.
This is not off-campus housing. It's on campus.
Yeah.
We go back to 1950. We got to learn this guy's backstory.
His name is really Larry Greco. He's from Brooklyn. Let's move on. he was in the military for 19 days and dishonorably discharged. We don't know why.
For reasons that remain unclear, they tell us.
Big red flag.
Oh, my God.
Walking red flag.
He was really with Larry Greco. Let's move on.
Like, this Bernie Carrick. Now, Bernie Carrick.
Yes.
is a character and a half. He's like not a good guy.
Well, I mean, that's very plain as day.
But he was like subpoenaed in the most recent Trump stuff.
Oh, was he?
Like,
great.
But Bernie Kerik here wants to be a hero for some reason. Bernie, I'm keeping those flowers. You're not getting them.
Bernie character was like the commissioner of the police or whatever under Rudy Giuliani.
Right. And so he was the, like, this Larry guy was the best man at Bernie's wedding.
Yeah, like they met at the gym or something. Like my question was like, but what was Larry's job? Like, why did Bernie Kerik like this guy?
But then Bernie told this story where he's like, I was there when Larry introduced Rudy Giuliani to Gorbachev. And I'm like, what?
And this story, I wrote it. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense.
At the airport or
so,
something?
So like something happens where Larry is coming out of the international terminal, sees Bernie Kerik at the airport. He's like, hey, Bernie, my friend Mikhail Gorbachev is with me. He'd really love to meet Rudy Giuliani. Does he have 10
and
minutes?
And I'm like, was it an impersonator? This can't be real.
And he says, Bern, I want you to meet President Gorbachev. I said, okay. All right. I told the mayor. I said, Gorbachev is here. He'd love to see you if you have a minute. And Giuliani said, absolutely, bring him down.
We see the pictures. And like Rudy literally says, bring him on downtown. Gets a photo op with Gorbachev because Larry, the cult leader, knows him. What?
I'm exhausted.
I mean, too. You came into the office and I was sleeping on the couch.
Like
this
like
took such a toll.
Over
I,
you.
I know.
Like
this
your jacket over you.
Took
you,
such a toll. I needed a nap.
It's a very sad sight.
I know.
The point is, this guy manipulated a lot of people. We'll get back to Bernie in a little bit.
Yeah, okay, great.
Travel.
Girl, Field of Greens is back. Can I tell you, we're a Field of Greens household.
You just said, oh God, Steve loves Field of Greens. And I believe you.
Fam, it's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. Steve is obsessed with the strawberry lemonade. I personally like the wild berry.
They also have lemon lime, by the way.
I know.
So here's why Field of Greens is radically different. Because I know you're thinking like, we've seen this all before, right? No. So each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. So that's how Field of Greens is keeping you healthy. So it's helping you with your energy.
Yes.
You're sleeping better. You have healthier hair, healthier skin. It's helping you with digestion.
And the truth of the matter is it's tasty because like with some of these other supplements, it's like one scoop of, it's like a one and done and you don't really like it.
Lemon lime.
I know. The wild berry, the strawberry lemonade, we're all obsessed.
And they also have like their plain flavor too, if that's more what you're into. If you want to mix it in something where you don't want extra flavor, but if you want to mix it in like water or something like that, they have flavors for you.
And let me just tell you, I'm not calling anybody old up in here, but when you get to be about my age or around my age.
A woman of a certain age.
It's so nice to know that you can do like one thing in the morning. It's like a scoop with a glass of water and you've done something amazing and healthy for yourself before you are even fully awake. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you're going to love it. And if for any reason you do not love Field of Greens, they're going to give you a 100% money back guarantee.
Yes.
You can't beat it.
So fam, they are offering TCO listeners 15% off your first order plus free shipping.
Free rush shipping so you can get it like immediately.
Oh my, I was so rushed I didn't even see that word there.
You're not wasting any time.
No. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code TCO.
That's promo code TCO at fieldofgreens.com.
That's right, fieldofgreens.com. And go get the wild berry or the strawberry lemonade.
Or the lemon lime or the plain. You have options.
I know, so many options.
Whatever you want. So November 2010, Sarah Lawrence, Isabella is Talia, the daughter's best friend.
Yes.
She got, quote, very close to Larry. Larry would sleep in her room to, quote, help her and supervise her. And I'm like, to help her with what?
No, anybody who knows anything knows what's going on here.
Right.
So, like, once again, this creepy 50-year-old father has moved from the common room where he never should have been into one of the young women's rooms.
Right. He's also buying her expensive gifts.
Yes. And no one is doing anything about it. I don't understand.
So, before winter break, everyone's going home for the holidays.
Yeah.
Larry
not
calls,
everyone.
Not everybody. Larry,
I know.
The 50-year-old guy who is living with a bunch of 19-year-olds, calls Isabella's parents.
Yep.
He said, if she comes home for Christmas, she's going to be reliving trauma and she's going to kill herself.
He told them that, you know, Isabella didn't feel safe with him.
She doesn't feel safe with you. And Isabella is in the background under duress, I'm sure.
Yep.
Or she's like, hell yeah, I agree, because she's been manipulated. She agrees. And the parents are like, well, Christmas is going to be a little boring without Isabella, but I guess there's nothing we can do.
I mean, make that make sense to me. Now, I understand that everybody here is a victim, but I swear to God, I want some 50-year-old man to call me and tell me that Daisy's not coming home for Christmas.
Like,
let's see what happens on that day. Christmas is not going to be boring that year, GP, because I'm coming to your house.
Right.
We are driving to Sarah Lawrence, and we are
going to
burn
to Sarah,
some
I'm sorry,
shit.
We're kicking the door down.
We're
like, we just are.
Daisy, you're coming with me. I'm paying for this call. You are coming with me right now.
So, you know, Isabella's parents are far away. I don't know if they cannot make it.
Sure.
I don't know what this conversation was. But the conversation starts with Larry calling this 19-year-old's parents and ends with her not coming over Christmas because she's so unsafe with them. It's like, well, then she's not safe now either.
At the very least, call the school and say, there's a 50-year-old man living in my daughter's dorm room. Can you go investigate this?
Right. And now, but this is the beginning. This happens every time. This is the beginning of isolating everyone from their friends and family.
Correct.
Cult 101. So December 2010, Sarah Lawrence closes for the winter break. This is where we meet Lee Chen. Now, Lee, so Lee is a businessman, allegedly, and a former friend of Larry Ray.
I know how much you love that.
Love it. So I'm
it's like that and when the dog gets a lower third.
Right. Bubbles. Oh,
hey,
girl. Or whatever. Now I'm like, this is your time to shine, Lee. Don't, feet don't fail me now. Like, don't fuck me on this, Lee.
Oh, someone's going to be disappointed.
So, I don't even know why I try. So they like did business together.
Yeah.
What kind of business? We don't know. If anyone's keeping, what red number red flag is this? 11,000? Amazing.
I know.
So over winter break, Larry starts bringing Talia, his daughter, and Isabella to Lee's apartment.
Yes.
Taking them to fancy dinner, paying in cash. Now Lee, for whatever reason, was always traveling with this mystery job and this girlfriend. Reminder, these are sophomores in college.
In college. One of them is his daughter.
And he is reinforcing the separation from the outside world by taking them away from campus. And now they're at this guy's high rise.
And Dr. Yanya makes a really great point. She's like, what he's doing is establishing full control away from the campus. She says, you could be in the middle of Manhattan, but you're still completely isolated to this person.
And it's not their apartment. It's not their home. It's not their stuff.
When I came back from the trip, he had moved himself into my bedroom. But it wasn't just him. And it wasn't just him and Talia. I only had one bed in my bedroom. It was him, Talia, and Isabella. And they were sleeping in my bed all together.
So Larry eventually moves himself and Talia and Isabella into his friend's bedroom, and they are all in the same bed. So I'm like, obviously, Lee Chen is going to kick the door in and say, not on my watch. Get out of here. I'm calling everyone's parents. Get
Clearly.
The president of Sarah Lawrence. Get Ms. Sarah Lawrence on the phone.
Get Gorbachev on the phone.
Get Gorbachev. Get everybody on the phone. I got news for everybody.
That's not what happens.
Lee is an idiot at best and at worst an accomplice of rape.
I will never be able to understand this. He just completely turns his apartment over to Larry, who's now sleeping in a bed with Isabella, who he's clearly having sex with, and his own daughter.
They're all three in the same bed.
In the same bed.
And Lee's literally like, oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. I'll just go to my mystery job and go back to Bora Bora or whatever.
We're told that Larry is stroking Isabella's hair, calling
disgusting.
Her his baby girl.
The point is he's succeeded with Isabella.
Yes.
So she is under the spell. His daughter's under the spell. Now it's time to do the same to the rest of them.
Correct.
January 2011, we're all back at school.
Yeah.
We have Larry, Talia, Isabella are all back in the dorm along with Claudia, Santos, and Daniel.
Yes.
Larry has already has Talia and Isabella.
Yeah. So this is when Daniel goes to Larry because he's struggling with his sexuality.
Right.
He's wondering if he's gay.
Larry's like, no, you're not.
You're straight as hell, Daniel. And
that sounded super convincing by the way.
You're straight as hell.
Great Larry impression.
But the whole thing is that Larry now has this to use against Daniel.
Right.
And he uses it to manipulate Daniel's relationship with his father because Daniel's father is sending emails to Daniel being like, buddy, you're probably a little gay, but that's not
and
even
that's
what I'm
cool.
writing about.
We love you.
Yeah. He's like, when we talk to you, you sound like a zombie.
You sound not okay. What's
what is
wrong?
Going on over
yeah.
there?
And if you want to talk, if it's because you're struggling with something, like talk it out or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, Isabella, who didn't go home for break.
Yeah, she's the one who he called the parent, was like, she hates you. She'll never see you again.
So Isabella's mother and her aunt come to visit. Because they're like, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Like, they got their ducks in a row. They realize, okay, so she didn't come home for Christmas, but this is weird. We got to check
Something's
it out.
Something's going on.
So they go to dinner with Isabella and Larry, who once again is a 50-year-old man and another student's father.
Yep.
And Larry was just seemed very much to be kind of in control of the conversation. And Isabella seemed to just kind of go along with whatever he said. So, you know, they went back to San Antonio.
So, you know, they went back to San Antonio.
And again, I guess the question is, like, what can you actually do? And if they're working people with jobs and they can't miss a day of work, I totally understand. Like, it is, you're in a terrible situation. She's an adult. She can do what she wants. But I'm telling you right now, if that were me and I'm writing the check to that school, that funding is getting pulled and you are the fuck out of there.
Some parents did speak to the school.
Yes.
And some parents are saying, because also I'm sure, because these kids are so in love, like, they're so happy they found someone to help them. I'm sure, like, on the quad, they're like, you should come to one of Larry's sessions. So other kids, like, who's what?
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's words getting out. And I'm sure people are like, I used to go to my friend Isabella's apartment, but I can't anymore because there's a fucking weirdo creep there.
But it's also like, Sarah Lawrence, you own the building. There should not be a 50-year-old man living in it.
Students went right to the dean. Now, producers have contacted Sarah Lawrence College regarding these complaints. In a statement, they said, the proof at trial established that these criminal acts took place in a private apartment in New York City and in North Carolina. We'll get to North Carolina. Not on Sarah Lawrence campus. To suggest anything to the contrary is neither factual nor fair to the dedicated staff who were here at that time or to the victims of Ray's horrendous behavior. With respect to that recently concluded prosecution, the college has fully cooperated with all requests for documents and information.
This all began. He was living on your. He was only able to amass a cult because you provided them the students.
So are you saying that, like, these criminal acts took place? No, it started.
Yes.
In the, what are we, back in Chowchilla, where it's like, I didn't see the abuse, so it didn't happen.
Exactly.
We don't want to do that.
You provided the victims. You, like, served the victims up to this man by not diligently kicking him out of the campus.
And it's still, he shouldn't have, even if nothing happened and he lived there for a week, he should not be living there for a week with a bunch of 19-year-olds.
Absolutely not.
Stop
Somebody
it.
Get me a handbook.
Like, enough.
So now it's July 2021. The school year's over. Larry goes back to Lee Chen's apartment. He basically has, like, taken over this guy's apartment.
Lee, you fucking idiot. Who's here? I don't know why he agreed.
He sat down for an interview.
And said with his own mouth, and I quote, Larry started to bring more and more students into my home.
I know.
But it's thanks for that, Lee.
Lee. So now it's Dan, Claudia, and Santos, in addition to his own daughter.
He's the one. Lee is the one telling us, oh yeah, Larry, Talia, and Isabella shared my bedroom.
I know.
They got two blow-up mattresses for the living room, two extra couches. They've moved in. These are 19. Lee, you are complicit. You should have been charged too. You're an accomplice
to
rape.
He says,
many times when I'd come back from a trip, whether it be business or personal, I'd find all these people in my living room and Larry standing there like a general talking to his assembled troops.
Larry just, like, orating to the assembled troops.
Lee would come home to an actual cult in his living room and apologize for interrupting and turn around and not do a goddamn thing about it.
He would come home to an actual cult. Well said, GP.
Am I wrong?
No, you are absolutely right.
Dr. Yania, if I'm wrong, tell me.
No.
So, but Dr. Yania calls this a self-sealed system. Totally shut off, living in an altered reality, except when Lee Chen would open the door and let some fresh air in.
Exactly.
Apologize and turn right around off to some mystery job with some mystery girlfriend.
I know. And by the way, Larry is now literally studying cults. I feel like Larry's like, did I accidentally start a cult? Let me learn more about it.
I think he did that before.
Yeah.
Because he knew how to do it. Because, like, again, all of this stuff happened when? At night. So they're up all night, very little sleep.
And here we go. This is it. He's making them deeply analyze themselves and each other all night long.
And so from court testimony from the roommates, we learned that, like, all of these late night discussions would be focused on one person.
Right.
And one person, everyone would be accusing this person of things they didn't do. And then you'd be like, No, I totally...
I thought Goody Daniel with a boy at the gay bar.
Right, exactly. Like, I totally washed that dish. Like,
right.
I know I... Like, little infractions. And then by the end of it, you'd be sobbing on the floor saying, I'm going to wash every dish for the rest of my life. I'm so sorry. I can't believe it.
He's also making them write lists of things they've done wrong and admit in writing to things...
But
none of it's real. And admit in writing that he tried to hurt them. So then he's going to use this against them eventually.
Right. And so they're admitting to things they didn't do and then they're starting to believe it.
Right.
And now he's using their vulnerabilities against them and manipulating it.
This is how false confessions happen.
Right.
You break somebody down by steamrolling them for 15 hours, and they're either so tired that they now believe that they did it, or they'll say anything and sign anything just to get out of there.
And I guess no one's going to school anymore.
Exactly.
And it's like, so Sarah Lawrence also isn't noticing that, like, 10 kids all just stop showing
vanished
up at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Right. girl, Built is back.
Yeah, so Built, this is a brand new thing, right?
Yes.
They are breaking ground. They are the first rewards program that hooks you up with points on your rent. You know, everyone tells you, like, oh, if you're renting, you're just throwing money away.
Not anymore, fam. Even if you're still rocking that old school rent check vibes, Built Rewards has got your back. They'll mail the check for you. It's like having a personal rent-paying assistant. Every month, pay your rent and watch the Built points roll in. You're getting points for everything else you're doing in your life. Why shouldn't you get points for rent? What a great idea.
Yeah, and you can use points for your dream vacation. You can put your points towards a flight or a hotel stay. They work with over 500 airlines and over 700,000 hotels and properties. That means you can go basically anywhere.
Yeah, you can also redeem your points to book fitness and studio classes. You can also use your points towards a future rent payment or towards a future down payment on a home. It's like, why aren't you doing this? You are throwing your money away.
I know. So pay rent hassle-free through the Built Rewards app.
Built points have been consistently ranked the highest value point currency by the Points Guy and Bankrate.
The Points Guy knows what they're talking about.
Is that right?
I mean it.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
So earn points by paying rent right now when you go to joinbuilt.com/TCO.
That's joinbuilt.com/TCO.
Yeah. And make sure to use that URL so they know that we sent you. So it's joinbuilt.com/TCO to start earning points with your rent payments today.
And then go to one of those 700,000 plus hotels.
Or properties. That means like a nice resort. When you say property,
it's a whole new level.
Oh my God.
Girl, Helix is back. You and I have both been Helix ladies for a long time.
Yes. I love Helix because I've always had trouble sleeping. I can never get comfortable, and Mike and I have different preferences. So Helix has the sleep quiz.
Yes.
And they help you find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. So all you do is say, like, if you're a solo sleeper, if you sleep with someone in your bed, you just answer the questions.
Yes.
You know the answers to the questions. They're your opinion. They're your thoughts and feelings.
You can't answer it wrong. It's a test.
There's
you
no
take.
Wrong answer.
Yeah.
And under 2 minutes, they match you with a mattress. I got the Midnight Lux,
yes.
And I never looked back.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge.
Yeah, and they also, because you know, you're like, okay, great, but what if I hate it? So you won't, but Helix offers a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty so you can try out the mattress. You have to sleep in it before you know that you like it.
Totally. Also, Helix knows there's all different kinds of shapes and sizes and everyone's got a different kind of body. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed to specific sleep positions and feel preferences.
Yeah.
There are ones you can literally say, I need to be cold at night.
Yes.
Like, I need to be cooled down at night. You can
that's
check that
said.
Box.
That's literally what
Me
I said.
Me too.
And kids love it. Pets love it. Fiona literally walks down the hallway and looks back like, are we going to bed or what? She loves her bedtime routine.
I know. Fam, Helix right now is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
Go to helixsleep.com/TCO and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long, fam. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
I know. You can be cooled down while you sleep, finally.
Let me just say that one more time. It's helixsleep.com/TCO. Use code HELIXPARTNER20. Just do it.
Okay, great.
Now I'm yelling.
Don't yell.
Check the I want to be cold box.
Yes. And then sleep very soundly. That sounded creepy. Just have a good night, everybody.
You don't do whatever
good
you want.
Night. Good night. Sorry. September 2011, Talia, Larry's daughter, moves back to Sarah Lawrence. She is the only one to do so.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. She's replaced by Iban. And
yes.
Iban is Talia's ex-boyfriend. He's known Larry for years.
Yeah. And we meet a bunch of Iban's friends who are just saying, like, he's so lovely. He's so easy to be around. He saw Larry as, like, a mentor and a guy. Like Iban is so into what Larry is selling.
Yeah.
And because Larry was in the... Now, we know that Larry was in the military for 19 days before being discharged for reasons we still don't know. Larry has made up this whole back military backstory that Iban is like, he was a Marine. I want to be the kind of Marine that he was. It's all a lie.
Also, to our friends in the military, if there is like a not nefarious reason for that to be under lock and key, like why he was dishonorably discharged after 19 days, can you tell me what that possibly could be?
Yeah.
I'm really asking you.
I can't imagine.
Because I don't know what, like if there's like, oh, there's a totally reasonable explanation. I want to know what it is.
Yeah.
But it feels like it has to be bad.
There's no chance it's not bad.
Right.
100%.
Also because it's Larry.
Right.
But so when Iban joins the cult, he just come back from Afghanistan.
So he did it, like, in Larry's honor, he joined the Marines, was, like, stationed in Afghanistan for forever and comes back, and the second he gets off the helicopter,
right.
He joins the cult.
Right.
And we meet people from his unit who are like...
He'd been through some really traumatizing things in Afghanistan. He'd seen some people close to him die, and he was experiencing PTSD.
I felt that Larry had placed himself in a position where Iban saw him as... a factor in his treatment. And I think it's something that Larry took advantage of.
So Iban is coming back to his mentor in a very vulnerable state.
And that's just another example of, like, that's when people are most likely to join cults, when they're in that really extremely vulnerable state.
And now Iban becomes kind of like Larry's assistant.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I got to be ready at all times. Everything is very high stakes. Everything has a deadline. Everything's an emergency.
This one felt to me like Bad Vegan to me, about how, like, she just was under his spell and was...
And the one in Ireland or the UK where they were listening to that song that I hate over and over again in the car.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Where he was like, he worked for MI5 or whatever. And it's like, no one, it's not like, hi, it's me, the secret agent.
Exactly.
No one like does that.
Yep.
But it's everything's an emergency. Everything's high stake. Wait for me. I got to pick up the package. You drive me. You're driving the getaway car. Blah, blah, blah. Nothing good starts in the getaway car, as Taylor Swift says.
Right.
So Larry now.
He was coming after us. I was screaming, go, go, go.
Oh my God.
I'm a full Swiftie now. I don't know if I've told you that.
I'm all the way in. Regardless.
You don't even ask me what my favorite song is?
I know what your favorite fucking song is. King of My Heart.
How did you know that?
Because you've told me 1,000 times. So, Larry, but what's interesting too, I don't know why, I think Talia left to maybe recruit more people. It's interesting that Talia, who's such a central part of this, is no longer at the apartment. So she must be doing other cult work.
But
elsewhere.
Larry's also protecting her. You know what I mean? Like, she's the favorite. He doesn't want her like getting physically injured, because we're about to see all the violence that he does.
Because now the physical violence starts. First, he would, quote, start small, like, you know, some shoving.
Yeah.
Don't touch me.
Some light shoving.
Some shoving for your nerve. Like, no, we're not shoving anybody.
No, we aren't.
The violence gets worse as time goes on.
He does this crazy thing where, remember, Iban is suffering intense PTSD.
Also, this is when the camera comes out.
Yes.
This is the first bit of footage we're seeing.
Yes.
Larry, like, took the edge of a spatula and pressed into his neck and told him it was a knife and told him he was going to die. And he should just let go of whatever psychological thing he was holding on to.
He's going to slit his throat, so Iban should just go ahead and let go of whatever psychological thing he's holding on to. You do not do that to anybody, but you do not do that to a Marine suffering from intense PTSD.
Who, like, forcibly joined the military.
Yes.
Also, while he is hitting them or inflicting this violence on them, he is basically saying, you're doing this to answer for the crimes that I'm telling you committed. So this is their, like, penance for these horrible things they did. They didn't do it. It's not real.
We see a video of him taking Daniel's tongue into a pair of pliers.
We see it. And we hear it because
we
hear
watch
Daniel
it.
Trying to talk
and
through the pliers holding
screaming.
His tongue.
Screaming. I mean, it's literal torture.
And he's saying, like, do you see how this feels? Do you want me to pick you up by your tongue? You're a grown man. I'm a grown man. I don't like what you did. And he's moving the pliers with every word. Daniel is in so much pain.
Yeah.
He's making more threats of violence and saying, like, are you doubting me?
I know.
And so he's threatening them. And again, this is all for some slight that Daniel, some horrible crime Daniel committed
that he didn't commit.
But Daniel believes he did, and so Daniel believes that he deserves this pain and violence. Everyone is sitting on the floor eating takeout.
Yep.
And someone else is filming this. It's not on a tripod.
No.
Someone is holding the camera filming this because Larry's doing the violence.
It's Isabella. There's no question that it's Isabella. And this, you know, Dr. Yanya is saying that Larry is the epitome of a malignant narcissist.
He's
vengeful, mean, motivated by power, and dangerous. And she says the narcissists are so full. This is what she was saying about why he records. Because I'm like, why would you record this, Larry? You know this is eventually going to be used against you in court someday.
Yeah.
She says these narcissists are so full of themselves and they want to record everything as proof of what they are able to accomplish, meaning what they're able to get other people to do.
Right. So the violence has started. And now, in addition, Larry starts controlling what? Say it with me, everybody. Their sex lives.
Yeah.
Pressuring them to be more open sexually, or that's what how they say it, like forcing them to do things to themselves and to each other and to strangers.
And like also to him, like he, like Claudia tells the story that he comes to talk to her and he's like rubbing his like genitals.
He's assaulting them.
Yes. And then we get this horrendous story of one night he humiliates Daniel. Remember, Daniel's the one that came to him and said that he thought he was gay.
He's like working through his sexuality.
Yes.
And he told Daniel to go in the other room and put on a dress. It's one of the women's dresses. And so in front of everybody, he's making fun of him in this dress.
And then he asked Isabella to bring out a sex toy and then told Daniel to try and put that into himself.
and makes Daniel like put it inside himself.
But not before like making fun of him for wearing like being a boy in a dress.
I mean, he put him in the middle of a circle. I was reading one of Daniel's accounts of this, you know, like out on the internet somewhere. And he was just like surrounded by the other cult members, just like mocking him.
Right.
Like the utter debasement.
Oh, it's horrifying.
This. Yeah. It is a miracle that Daniel didn't kill himself. It is absolutely, they're living in this high-rise apartment. It is an absolute miracle that Daniel didn't kill himself.
Yeah. Speaking of the apartment, where is Lee Chen?
Where is Lee Chen?
Like, this is all happening in his apartment because now Larry wants the cult to do renovations. Now, they're knocking down walls.
They're painting
the walls. They're leaving electrical wires hanging. Now, it doesn't matter if you're owning or renting.
Yes.
You can't do a thing to your apartment without getting approval from the landlord or the owner or the building or the board or whatever.
I mean, I've been through it 100 times. It takes
forever. You can't paint one wall.
No.
Let alone knocking down walls. You need to have, what do they call it? A certificate of insurance?
Yes.
If you see someone, which means that they're just like banging down the walls themselves. They're leaving electrical wires.
No one's going to tell Larry he can't do whatever he wants.
But Lee, that means you can get him easily evicted.
Exactly.
He's breaking every building code there is.
Because Lee literally.
And I don't know shit about building code. I just said building code like I knew it.
I know.
But you can't just do that.
But, and the only reason we know about this is because Lee, the owner of the apartment, shows up and he's like, huh, they're knocking down the walls. They're painting the foyer pink. They're leaving the wires exposed.
And Lee's only issue is, you know, and he's doing this and he's not even paying me rent.
I know.
Literally, Lee, who thought this was an excellent idea, clearly the girlfriend left him high and dry. Thank God.
Thank God.
If she even existed.
Totally.
But Larry never paid me any rent. So I finally had enough, says Lee with a straight fucking face. So Lee's like, Larry, sweetheart, 10 days, okay? It's the best I can do. Clean up the cult. Larry responds.
Clean up the cult. Yeah.
Larry responds by changing the locks. And honestly, I'm surprised it took Larry this long.
To do it.
I can't believe he didn't change the locks immediately.
I know. So Lee takes him to court.
I took Larry to New York County Civil Court. It took me over 3 years to gain an eviction judgment.
It takes him 3 years to gain a judgment against it. Like, we gotta do better, New York City. That is insane. Not only that, we're gonna learn later, it takes him another 3 years to get him out.
6 years altogether.
To get this cult out of your apartment.
I know. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
So, the year 2000.
Are you okay?
No. I'm not, actually. This is a little complicated.
We're
going to go through it as fast as possible. In the year 2000, Larry was actually an informant for the FBI.
Yes.
He is talking about a $40 million Wall Street scheme connected to the Gambino crime family.
Yeah.
Larry,
were you involved in this?
No.
Okay, you sure?
I'm positive.
Okay.
I've already said too much. No, Larry is an informant because he's also involved in the scheme.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't tell the FBI about this. He's just flipping because Larry's a flippy floppy fish.
Yes.
So now he's arrested. He pleads guilty to
securities fraud. Right, because the FBI's like, wait a second. Our primary informant is involved in the scheme. Like, Larry.
But, they usually are. That's how you get people to flip, right?
Yeah.
So Larry's mad he got caught and had to serve time. Now, you remember his friend Bernie Kerik, the commissioner, the best man at his wedding, whatever?
Yeah, he introduced Gorbachev to Rudy Giuliani, idiot.
But Bernie's all part of this, right? Because he's the commissioner.
Of course.
So Larry's mad that he did a bad thing and got caught. So now Bernie has to go down. Because you're with Larry 1,000%. Or he's out to ruin your life.
Because Larry called Bernie and was like, can you help me out? And Bernie's like, you've been indicted.
Girl.
There's nothing I can do
for
you.
$40 million scheme. We got the mob involved.
Yes,
girl, I'm out. We shouldn't even be talking on the phone.
No. So now Larry flips on Bernie.
And it's, again, either you're with Larry 100% or he becomes a life ruiner.
He starts talking about ethics violations that Bernie Kerik might be involved in.
Ray was a one-time felon turned FBI informant, but he turned on Kerik, telling authorities how Kerik took $150,000 in free apartment renovations from a mob-linked construction firm.
He's like, you know, the commissioner of the police? Well, he took $150,000 in free apartment renovations from the mob.
Right. Which is true. Like, Larry told the truth.
Yeah.
Maybe one and only time, and this is it.
Yep.
So, and Bernie's here also.
I know.
Bernie and Lee were like, let's just do it.
I know.
Let's do the documentary. We'll tell everyone will see us as the heroes we are. Finally. Pinky swear, me and you, bro.
We're all to the
me
end.
Me and you, Thelma and Louise,
end.
Off that. Like, they're going
to
see
God.
Us for the heroes
mm-hmm.
we are once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So Bernie, also, who was subpoenaed in the Trump election fraud stuff, by the way.
Oh, my God.
He says to us, straight face, he's like, Lee's going to love this. He says,
My best friend Lee's going to love it.
I blame all of it on Larry Ray. He started the investigation that led me to go to prison. And I'm like, I think your choices did at least some of it. But all right, Burn. All right. Not feeling the burn on this one. Larry did it all. Did he?
Not feeling the burn.
You're all pieces of shit.
I know.
God. So the point is, Larry set out to ruin Bernie's life. He did it. He's very proud of it.
Yeah.
He wears it like a badge of honor.
Yep. Girl, Ritual is back. I'm going to tell you something that's going to make you mad.
Bring it on.
Okay, did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993?
Well, that tracks. Here's the thing. Women belong in scientific research.
Yes.
We are essential.
Exactly.
And Ritual knows that, thank goodness, because they conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18-plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy.
Now, you've been taking this for forever, and by now the listeners probably know it's a clinically backed multivitamin for women 18-plus. With high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms.
Yeah, so you're getting 9 key nutrients that you may or may not be getting otherwise in 2 delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption. So here's the thing about that delayed release thing. It sounds sciencey. It means that you can have it on an empty stomach.
Totally.
So that's amazing, number one. 2, it has a minty essence in every bottle.
Minty fresh.
So it makes it more fun and enjoyable to take those pills.
Ritual's Essential for Women is USP verified as well, fam. So you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. That's the whole thing. They want the ingredients to be traceable and transparent. They want you to know what you're taking. And that way, like, you know it's going to be great.
Yeah.
So fam, no more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust.
Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/TCO.
Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today.
That's ritual.com/TCO for 25% off.
Go do it.
Yeah.
Minty fresh.
The minty stuff is free. It's just like a bonus. Fall 2011, we're back in New York City.
Yes.
We're learning about Santos Rosario. Santos has 2 sisters, Yalitza, who's 22. She's an undergrad at Columbia. And Felicia, who's 29 years old. She went to Harvard.
I'm going to say that again. Columbia and Harvard. Yeah. These are brilliant women.
Felicia is doing her medical residency in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
This is an incredibly smart family, which Dr. Yanya wants everyone to be like, see? Like,
that's the point,
right?
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Yep.
Santos connects Larry to, because remember, Felicia and Yalitza are not here.
Yalitza is in Columbia. So she's in New York.
But she's not like a Sarah Lawrence student.
She's not.
And they're older.
Right. Yes.
Felicia's 29 and in med school.
So Santos is like, look, this guy Larry's been so great to me, Felicia. Like, I'm going to connect him to you because you're already doing great, but he's going to help you do even better.
Felicia, who's doing better than any of us could ever imagine at this point in her 29-year-old life.
In LA doing her medical residency, she's got it all going for
her. White man Larry can save her. Okay.
Exactly.
So Larry, they start talking over the phone.
Hours a day.
And Los Angeles.
Yeah.
He grooms her over the phone, essentially.
Yeah.
Now, the core testimony, Felicia uses the word romantic. It's not right, but that's what she means. And we all know what she means.
Yeah.
That she more than friends. But it's getting sexual.
She falls in love with him.
Over the phone. But he's grooming her.
Yeah, of course.
And like, he's asking her questions about her sex life.
Yeah.
And then he insists that she go out and have sex with strangers.
Larry also wanted to see me having sex with someone else, and he wanted me to record it. Larry wouldn't stop asking. He was getting more angry, and so I decided I would comply and appease him. I didn't want to, though.
And she did it.
Yes. And she didn't want to, but she says she did it for him because she loved him.
And now Larry convinces Felicia that she is in danger.
That because remember the Bernie Kerik stuff that now like
he's all his enemies.
He's so powerful and they're all out to get Larry and they're going to get Larry by getting anybody that Larry loves.
And, you know, all the best heroes have all these enemies.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Felicia, so like, you're not safe in LA. You got to come to New York where we can protect
now,
you.
But she is so paranoid that she's left her residency.
Yes.
She is sleeping on an air mattress in her own living room with cameras installed in her apartment because people are coming to get her.
Because he told her to install the cameras.
He did this from across the country.
Yes, yes. And Dr. Yanya says, you have to really ask yourself, like, it's remarkable that somebody like Felicia, with her education and life experience, was suckered in so quickly and so completely. And Dr. Yanya's point, we keep saying it, is that if this can happen to somebody like Felicia, it can happen to anybody, like, any idiot like me who's thinking, I'm smarter than this,
right.
They could never get me.
It's
kind of idiot falls for that. Yes. That's what I'm saying. Like, Larry would have literally turned himself into a Caesar salad because that's what I would need him to be.
Delicious.
I'm telling you. I will do anything a Caesar salad says.
No anchovies.
You know, no, of course. I mean, we've been through this.
Like, obviously.
I know.
We agree. But Larry then, okay, I got Santos. I got Felicia.
So she moves to New York to move into the apartment on 96th Street.
And Larry also convinces Yalitza, the other sister, to join the cult.
Yeah, so they all live together with Santos in the 93rd Street apartment.
And now Lee Chen's apartment. Lee, I hate you. So I don't want to hear what could I do. A lot of things.
I don't
want to hear it.
Anything.
Lee. Your apartment. Okay.
I know.
So this is where the videos get really bad.
Yeah.
There's a video of Santos slapping himself as hard as he can in the face over and over again.
Just to remind you, Santos is the brother of Yalitza and Felicia.
Right. So he's standing and pacing. These are two people having a mental health crisis.
Yes.
No question. So he is standing there, like, punishing himself.
Santos spends an hour slapping himself in the face pretty hard.
Stop talking, Felicia.
He was doing this because Larry told him it was the only way to get his sister Felicia to stop talking or to be quiet.
Oh, no. Can I get up now?
No, Felicia, stop talking.
Anytime she talks, he has to slap himself.
Right.
And the thinking is that Larry's saying that she'll stop talking because she loves him and doesn't want him hitting himself.
This is where we are.
It's
here.
It's insane.
Now, Felicia is on the couch having a crisis. She's having an episode of some kind.
Absolutely.
She's making...
A month ago, she was a doctor in L.A.
Like, please.
Yeah.
It's the most heartbreaking thing because she is, you could see that she's seeing things. She's doing, like, equations in her head. She's moving erratically. Her hands are, she's just having an episode. She's in the middle of a crisis. And now he's pitting everyone against each other.
They're siblings who love each other.
And you can tell, like, they were so close. Like, the fact that the three of them, they all believe, why would my sister lie to me? Why would my brother lie to me? He's pitting these siblings against each other. And then the video cuts from this, like, heartbreaking thing to Larry holding Felicia to the ground. And she is screaming and crying and trying to get away. And she's on the floor flat. And he has her in, like, a wrestling hold. He is completely on top of her.
I just want to be really, I want to really drive the point home that she is completely under his control.
She's on the floor of, like, the kitchen. It's like a tile floor.
Fully physically restrained. There is nothing she can do in the position that she's
in. She's on her stomach.
Yeah, there's nothing she can do to get out of
it. And he has, like, his elbow and full, he's complete, and she is squirming and screaming and crying.
Yeah. A month ago, she was a doctor in Los Angeles.
It is so, and he's saying, like, are you going to behave?
Yep.
Like, she didn't do anything.
Yep.
And even if she did, she didn't do it.
Yeah.
I don't care what she did. What she didn't, she didn't ask you something correctly. It's all bullshit. None of it's real.
And it's all on video. And it's all being filmed by, what's that girl's name?
Isabella.
Yeah.
And now Felicia is in a, she's trying to get out any which way she can. She breaks free from Larry. She runs into the bathroom.
He lets her go. She doesn't break free.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Like,
only because
out.
I felt like I couldn't breathe watching that video. I want people, like, to understand that, like, she was not able to get away from him.
No.
Yeah.
Felicia is now in the bathroom. And the court testimony says, a quote from her, she wanted to take pills, quote, to end it. Isabella is behind the camera. And Isabella says,
I hear a pill bottle opening and closing.
Larry is now trying to kick the door down. It's not a reenactment, everyone.
No.
I need that to be clear. When we're watching this, this is actual court video of what the jury saw.
And he came, slammed the door open from the bathroom, and then yanked me by the hair.
Spit him.
And then said to Isabella, don't let this fucking cunt kill herself in my apartment.
Don't get it twisted. Not because he's worried about Felicia.
Yeah.
Because he's losing control of her.
Yeah.
And he needs her to be a pawn. So there's no worry or about her well-being here in any way whatsoever. It's also not your apartment.
I know.
And I'm not saying that to be funny or split hairs
here.
This is what he's thinking. You know what I'm saying?
But that tells you about his mind because it is his apartment in his mind.
Exactly.
You know what
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
He's taken it over.
Exactly.
He won. He beat Lee Chen.
Yep.
Like, Lee Chen's, you know.
Totally.
So
6 years rent-free in the Upper East Side.
Now, we learn that Felicia and her sister will both attempt suicide during their time with the group, and at least three women actually made the attempt to try to take their own lives.
Yeah.
And now Larry uses this against the group.
Right.
Like, you're all at risk and only I can save you. Don't you see that you're all in peril through your own fault and I'm the only one? And I'm like, don't you see you're the common denominator
here? He says they're all uniquely prone to suicide and only he can save them.
But you can't.
I know.
Because it's not about saving them. It's about destroying them. We also get this quick, like...
Remember Aban? We dip back into his story for a minute just to say that, like, Aban is really suffering from paranoia. Paranoia is, like, one of the top symptoms of PTSD.
Yeah.
And Aban Glenn has it bad. So just remember that.
Remember that. So it's May 2023. Larry takes, the on-screen text says, Larry takes some of his followers out of New York City.
They go to a town called Pinehurst, North Carolina, where my sister lives. I was just there.
Oh, God.
I was just there like a week ago.
Really?
It's so beautiful, you can't believe it.
Oh, my God.
It is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. And they go there to ruin it.
To ruin it, you know? And, like, they all dropped out of school and their parents can't get through to them.
Yeah.
Like, that also needs to be reminded. They were at this really great prestigious school.
Yep.
Felicia was in med school. Like, their lives are being destroyed.
The ones that go. So Santos and Dan stay in New York. It's Claudia.
He took all the women.
The Yalitza, Felicia, and Isabella, and his daughter. They're the ones who go down there. And basically, they go to stay at his stepdad's big house. And, like, the house needs a lot of work. And he's making them do that cult, like, free
hard labor
all day.
Also, of course, it's not his fucking house.
Of course not.
Obviously.
Of course not.
So the women are doing all this hard labor.
Essentially, they rip up all this sod. They have to put new sod down. They have to dig drainage ditches. They have to use backhoes and this machinery, none of which they have any idea how to use. And Larry tells them they have to, like, work all day, and they eat when he tells them to eat, and they can't come inside until this work is done.
They're using backhoes, and they have no idea how to use them. Those are, like, the things you sit in.
And why would they?
Why? Of course. Of course. It's like when we learned that they didn't know how to renovate an apartment. Of course they don't.
Of course they didn't. But, like, you need a special license for those things. They're literally operating heavy machinery.
These are the arts kids. They went to the art school. Of course they don't know how to use a backhoe.
As they say in Wet Hot American Summer, they're the indoor kids.
Right. Exactly.
So, but they're working all day, and they're working... Again, like, equipment that they don't know how to use, which will come back in a minute.
Yeah.
But they're eating only when he tells them to eat. I'm sure they're sleep deprived, like, the whole nine yards, right? Like, but the hierarchy is very clear.
Yes.
Talia, his daughter, is the favorite. She gets to stay inside all day.
And work on her law school application.
She'll be a rude awakening, sweetheart.
Going to law school? Like,
is she? You know what? I know she's a victim,
too.
I know. Larry now starts accusing the group of damaging this machinery, because of course he does.
This is the major plan. This is why he brought them down here.
He's convincing them they broke everything, which they could have, because nobody knows. Like, he's setting them up for failure.
But they broke his equipment doing work they didn't want to do.
They didn't break
for
anything.
For free. Yeah.
So he would have, like, a tally of, like, you broke this, and then telling all of these women how much they owe him. But
Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
But what he would do is make them guess.
Yeah.
And because of the power he had over them, the guesses would be like, I don't know, like $100,000.
Yeah.
And then he'd be like, that sounds right. And then
Claudia's like, no, it was probably more.
And he's like, finally.
Yeah.
But
she'd say
like $100,000, and he'd be like, that's what you think is best.
Yeah.
And she'd
be like, it's
probably 200, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
this is where we are here.
But then what he does, like, I thought this was just like I'm going to tell you that you owe me this money, so you're indentured for forever. No.
They began to go to their family and friends and tell them that they had done something wrong and that they had to pay him back and that could they help them out?
You know, at one point, the Rosario parents, they weren't especially wealthy. They had managed to save enough money to buy a small house. And they ended up giving six-figure amounts to Larry.
Once again, maybe it's just because I'm married to Steve, but if my family got a call saying Daisy broke a backhoe and you owe me $150,000, I'm going to tell you Steve is not paying that bill, and he's going to have a lot of fucking questions.
Yes.
These parents ask no questions. They all just start selling their houses.
And if they did, I wish we knew about it.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, the emails are like, I caused so much damage, I really need your help. I'm sure they're starting with their friends.
Yeah.
But, like, who has that kind of money?
But, I mean, like, Yalitza and Felicia's parents, who have, like,
they have, like, a car service in the Bronx.
Yeah. They were going to buy a house, and instead they just gave that money to Larry.
Right.
Like, what?
Now,
what?
I wonder maybe Dr. Yanya would, if she has any experience with this, where it's kind of like, give them the money and maybe you can, at least you're in contact with them.
Uh-huh.
It's the three of them.
Could
and
be.
Maybe if they see that, I don't know if it's out of desperation.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're actually like, you shouldn't have broken that thing.
Uh-huh. Right.
But
why'd
we'll
you break the
backhoe? You out of this. I don't know what the motive is here, but I wonder if maybe there's a motive of, this is a way in.
I'm sorry. I just can't get the image of Daisy operating a backhoe out of,
like,
my head. I can't get it.
Wanting a what?
I know.
They don't even have keys.
No.
They have, like, a contraption. You need a special like, I'm out.
You need a special license.
You do, don't
what,
you?
I'm sure if you don't, you should.
You can't just, like, no! operate one of those
Absolutely
things.
Not.
So, but the parents are handing over like $100,000.
I know.
Right? So then, and then it's like, just like random footage of Felicia crawling all over the floor. She looks terrified.
I know.
She's completely broken down. Now, there's like there's hundreds of thousands of dollars, at least, that all of these women have racked up in imaginary debt.
Yes.
Now, they go back to New York City. I guess the stepdad is like, fuck you and fuck this. Like, get out of my house.
You know what? I wish that was the case, but probably not.
Probably not. Who knows? They're all back in New York City.
Yeah.
Now, Claudia, I guess, for whatever reason, couldn't get any of her money because people are like, girl, I'm sorry, I don't have 200 grand to give to who, for what, like,
exactly,
whatever.
Yeah,
she can't come up with the money.
And he managed to convince her that the only way she could possibly make the kind of money that she needed to make was to begin selling herself.
Larry has convinced Claudia to give him the money through sex work.
Yes.
Now, sex work is work, but only if you want to do it. If you don't, it's called trafficking.
Yes.
This is where, so for over $100,000, but we will learn that the debt, for whatever reason, she hasn't broken anything else.
No.
The debt keeps rising and it never goes down.
Exactly.
So Larry sets up a website for her. She's on Craigslist. Like, they're not, I don't think they're being safe about this.
No.
And worrying about Claudia and her well-being here.
Remember, when this all began, Claudia was just a student at Sarah Lawrence College.
A little
just
sheltered, a little shy.
Yeah,
but
just trying
like
to go to school,
kid.
Get a bachelor's degree, whatever.
Getting free dinners because she's a college kid. If I have to listen to some weird dad, whatever.
Sure.
Rationalizing stuff away. Now,
she's now living in hotels where she's seeing clients, and any money that she's making, except that is required to pay for food or rent, she's giving it to Larry.
Every penny.
They say she was, quote, turned into a money vehicle and was no longer a person. She's going hotel to hotel, working constantly. Claudia says on the stand the pressure to make money was constant and extremely intense. He would threaten to blackmail my clients. He would threaten me physically. He would threaten to put me in prison. She started this thing as a college student. She's now a sex worker. We're going to learn she's taking up to five clients a day. Yes.
She's being trafficked.
Yes.
Now, we're back to the video of Claudia from the very beginning. The one that prompted Ezra, the journalist, to look into this horrible story.
Yes.
And Claudia, like, you could see she's on what they call, like, autopilot.
Yeah.
She's like, I poison people and the mercury. Yes. Like, just,
yep,
like,
you know,
I'm not under any duress. I'm totally, like, willing to make... He's making a blackmail video.
Yes.
He's going to eventually use this against her, or at least tell her that he will. So Larry is using Isabella to launder Claudia's profits.
So this is really important. Isabella is Larry's number two.
She's the one filming all of
yes.
this. She probably is getting much better treatment. She's right below Talia, the daughter.
For sure.
So Claudia is being trafficked, and all of her money goes to Isabella. And this, because Isabella starts touching the money, she becomes a major part of this operation.
Yeah. So Isabella keeps detailed notes on how much money Claudia is making. Claudia is trafficked for 4 years.
You know, she ends up doing this for 4 years. No holidays. Seeing up to five clients a day. And ends up giving him more than $2 million.
I'm going to say all that again. She's being trafficked for 4 years.
Yeah.
Making $2 million. Up to five clients a day with no days off. And she's has nothing like this. Like, she's being tortured.
Yes.
So as this is happening, Iban, our friend Iban, who was forced to join the military, essentially, his mental health has been suffering and he has now been admitted to a facility.
Which they say, like, he was living with conspiracy theories. This is driving home what Larry's been saying to him at all times. You're not safe. They're out to get you. They're going to get you. And they got you.
And so Iban, like, his friends are trying to say, like, no, man, like, you know, listen to us. But Iban is, it's been manipulated and warped in his mind that, like, no, this proves everything right.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, no, Iban, like, that's, it's the opposite.
It's they're trying to help you.
But to, like, him, it's like everything Larry said would happen would happen, and now I'm in this facility. And it's, like, the most heartbreaking thing to hear because his friends are desperate to get through to him.
It's terrible. And it's like, they say by 2016, Larry's hold over some of the group is starting to wane. They say Daniel hits a breaking point. Daniel's one of the first ones to go. Mm-hmm. Daniel's actually very active on social media. He wrote a book.
Daniel's the one who was working through his sexuality and was humiliated.
He's an interesting follow on the old social media because he talks a lot about this story and he's doing well.
Right.
Santos says he had a very hard time reconciling that Larry could be a bad guy, but he eventually hits his limits. He realizes he's being abused and he leaves. But his two sisters are still in.
Right. Now, after 6 years of trying to get Larry evicted from this 93rd Street apartment, he's finally evicted from the apartment.
Yeah.
So he's forced to leave this apartment and he needs to find a new hub for the cult.
You know, by this point, he's mostly living on a day-to-day basis with Isabella and Felicia. They spend some time in hotels, they stay in some Airbnbs, and eventually they land at a house in New Jersey owned by his friend, Scott Mueller.
They land at a house owned by Larry's friend, Scott Mueller.
Nothing is Larry's.
I know. I know.
Like, what is all this money for then? It's for control.
Yes.
It's not like he wants the money and then he's like going on a yacht and you know what I mean?
Totally.
He's not using it for anything. Buy an apartment.
Right.
Have your cult in the apartment. It's not about that.
No.
And it's about keeping them uncomfortable. It's about keeping them on their toes. It's another unfamiliar place.
Yeah.
It's like, this is all part of it. So Talia is now she's still in North Carolina. Talia stays in touch. So it's Larry and Isabella and Felicia. Now, Talia is still actively trying to recruit other members.
Yeah.
And so it's now October 2018. Claudia is still, the on-screen text is continuing to work as an escort in Manhattan. She's being trafficked. I don't know why no one's saying
100%.
And she's desperate to leave, obviously.
Yeah.
And this is a major risk. It must have taken her, she must have been sick over this.
Well, we learn, I think that she tells a client what's going on.
Right.
I think this is a client that she's seen many times.
It's
definitely a client that she feels like she can trust.
For sure, but still,
yeah.
This is a very risky, dangerous move.
Well, I think that she thinks she's going to die one way or the other.
She's got to say something.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how. They don't say how. But Larry and Isabella get wind of this.
Well, what happens is they put his name on a website. His name ends up on some website.
They do, but they get wind of the fact that Claudia confided in them. But we don't know why.
We don't know how.
So as like punishment, they dox this person and now try to ruin his life too.
Yeah, but then now Claudia's got to get her punishment. So one night, Larry and Isabella come to her hotel room where Larry tortures Claudia all night. He beats her, he strips her naked, binds her to a chair.
Isabella's there watching the whole thing, probably filming it.
I remember her saying that when Larry was pouring water over me and lowering my body temperature, she at one point was like, Claudia, you're such a faker. This water is room temperature. It's not even cold.
Larry repeatedly suffocated Claudia with a plastic bag. It was relentless and it was painful and it was terrifying.
He suffocates her repeatedly with a plastic bag. Imagine that.
Then they're ordering cheeseburgers and eating in front of her.
Yeah.
So she's probably, again, like the food is all being monitored. When she can sleep is all being monitored. Like she's just a broken shell of a person.
He chokes her till she passes out. Then after they have their dinner, they begin the torture all over again. Then they untie her, let her sleep for a couple of hours, and then send her right back out to work.
I mean,
can you imagine?
But Claudia, once again, tells the same client.
Yeah.
So I think they were so focused on the control of Claudia, they kind of didn't finish the job with the doxing and ruining the client's life.
Yep.
Because the blackmail didn't work. None of this worked. And she confides in him again. And this guy helps her.
Yes.
And the client buys her a train ticket and gets her the hell out of New York City. Now, this is really bad for Larry. It's great for Claudia. Like, this is amazing.
Yes.
Thank you, client, for helping her. This is incredible.
100%.
This is really bad for Larry because Claudia was making $100,000 a month at least and giving it to him and Isabella. For what? We don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I can't believe that he, and thank the Lord he didn't, but I can't believe he wasn't making all of the women do this.
I know.
It's a goldmine for him.
It's almost like, well, he needed Isabella to do the books. He just needed them to play certain roles for his, like, sick pleasure. So, like, Felicia, he wanted to say, like, she's, like, a genius, successful woman. Let me break her so that she's crawling aimlessly on the floor.
Yeah.
That was his gig for her. That, you know, like, he just did what he needed.
Yep.
Now we're, like, trying to get Claudia back. They're emailing her. It's all in writing. Genius. Stay stupid.
I know.
But at this point, like, you have to know you're in a cult, right, Larry and Isabella? Like, why else would you be doing this if you're not in this coercive, controlling, culty situation?
Totally.
You have to know.
Right. And so,
on some level.
I mean, I think that they know all along on some level, right?
Yeah.
So now it's November 2018. We're back to the beginning when Ezra's working on the story and he's contacting Claudia's friends and family. And they're saying, Claudia who? We haven't heard from her in 6 years. Dan Levin agrees to talk to him. The story breaks. It's on the cover of New York Magazine in April 2019, which is almost exactly a decade to the day that Larry walked into the dorm at Sarah Lawrence.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I know.
So parents are, like, coming and trying to rescue their kids.
Yeah.
And this is a lot in the Hulu documentary. We see a lot of, like, them at the house in Piscataway.
Oh,
like,
really?
A lot of this. It's like, even though I didn't know them before, you're like, they're not the same person. Everything's very, like, they're in it 100%.
Do you see, like, Claudia and, and do you see, like, Isabella?
They're all, like, in the house sort of, like, explaining away.
They talk to the cameras?
Well, it's their own kind of, it's a lot. There's a lot there.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. It's a lot of footage,
yeah.
the Hulu one.
But they don't leave.
Yeah, they're refusing to come out. Larry is hiding. They always hide. Remember Keith Raniere in the cabinet
exactly.
in Mexico? They're always like hiding under the sink.
Yes, totally.
But the thing is, like, they're all adults.
Right.
So they're all like in the court of law making their own decisions.
Yeah.
But really, as Dr. Yanya would say, like, they were coerced into these decisions.
Well, the New York Magazine article makes its way to an FBI supervisor in the New York field office who decides he's going to look into it because he's going to follow the money, right? If we're
going to
get the guy, that's how we're going to do
always.
It. So he's seeing how much money, how much income Larry Ray made from sex trafficking and depleting the bank accounts of these kids' parents.
Well, most of the money was the sex trafficking.
Yes.
Which is amazing for a case.
Totally.
They acquired cell phone records. Their emails show them being controlled, confessing. Now, all kinds of things happening in references to violence. Then comes a search warrant of the residence in Piscataway, New Jersey.
And they served the search warrant on February 11th, 2020. Like, Larry did not see this coming.
No.
He's sound asleep in his underpants. The whole team of special agents burst into the house. They arrest him and they interrogate him and they begin going through the house where they just find everything.
Yeah, cue Heather from Salt Lake City. Receipts, proof, timeline, screenshots, fucking everything. They do, like, they like handwritten letters and they document, they always do. They documented everything.
They say it's
an open and shut case.
Yeah, it's an agent's dream to have a search where that much illegality of documentation exists.
Yeah. So the indictment includes sex trafficking conspiracy, racketeering conspiracy, extortion, money laundering, and abuse of all kinds.
Yeah.
So Larry's arrested. And at this point, we learn that Iban has died by suicide. And it is 1,000%, like, Larry is 1,000% to blame for
this. It's basically, the assumption is that, like, Larry has said to Iban, if they ever get me,
this is it.
You got to take yourself out.
Yeah. Iban was paranoid. He was terrified. This is all Larry's doing.
Yeah.
And now the cult members, of course, start to turn on Larry.
Right.
Because they are being shown the videos of their own abuse. Even if they were like, well, it wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
Then, like, out comes the plier video. And they're like, oh my God.
Or like the Santos slapping video.
Or you know, like them.
Any of the, like the.
Him on top of Felicia. Like any number of things. There's so much video and they're all sort of getting like things are getting unlocked and unhinged. And they're like, oh
my God. Yeah.
I'll talk to anybody. Like, of course, let's get this guy.
So Felicia, Santos, Yalitza, Claudia, and Dan, they all handed over documents and spent innumerable hours talking to the government. Isabella was initially described as a victim. The government was hoping that she would also flip, probably expecting that she would, and she didn't.
She wouldn't flip.
And she controlled the books with the sex trafficking.
Yes.
So once she started controlling the money and laundering the money, she became a perpetrator.
Yes.
Which is what Dr. Yanya says most usually happens.
Yeah. And like Talia, the daughter, they're trying to describe her as a co-conspirator, but ultimately they decide to not go forward with that prosecution because they're like, she's also a victim here. She's been with him since birth. Like, of course she's the daughter. She's going to believe everything he tells her. It's going to be too complicated for a jury.
A jury's
to be able
not going to convict the daughter.
No way.
And also, like, you can make that point with Isabella too. Isabella used to just be a student at Sarah Lawrence.
Yeah.
And now she's like sex trafficking and like,
right.
like how did we get here?
How did we get here?
Like, it's just so sad. But Isabella was charged with 16 felony counts, including sex trafficking, forced labor, and money laundering.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, this is what Dr. Yanya says. Like, it's so difficult because she did that, but what got her here was abuse. But at the same time, like, she was okay in her mind, in this state of being, to film them doing this hard labor and to sit by and watch the torture of Claudia.
And to not give evidence, to not, like, I mean, everyone else snapped out of it. You know what I mean?
So I don't know. I mean, she did it all. If Larry wasn't here, she wouldn't have done this.
Exactly.
But she did do it, and it's sad. It's like, it's very complicated. But the fact is, she was taking that money and laundering it.
Yeah. Yes.
And watching another woman be tortured and
for
raped
5 years.
Trafficked.
Yeah.
And held the camera while it happened. It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
It sucks. Yeah. Everything about it is awful. So, you know, Dr. Yanya says, she's just talking about how hard it is for people to testify in these situations because, like, you have to say in words what happened. And you also have to be deprogrammed first. You have to admit that it happened to yourself, and then you have to say it to your abuser and in front of a room with cameras and a jury. It's like, it's
and
terrible.
Especially for Claudia, who she takes the stand, and it's like Larry knew her testimony was going to be so damaging to him that, like, in the middle of her testimony,
talk about a train being right on time.
No,
all of a sudden, as Claudia is describing being a forced prostitute, one of Larry's lawyers stands up and asks for a break, and usually during testimony that doesn't really happen.
He seems to go through some kind of seizure in the courtroom right there.
Larry has a full seizure
He's
right there.
He's faking a seizure. He's getting carried out on a stretcher, being like, making eye contact
Looking
with people.
Looking for the cameras.
Do you see me having a seizure? This is a totally real seizure. Soup's real.
Do you see me having a real seizure? It's happening right now.
Making eye contact with people.
Yeah. That's what they say. Then, like, the next day, the testimony
resumes.
It's
fake, everyone. We made that clear, right? It's a fake seizure.
He does it again.
He does it again.
He has a second seizure.
He's just delaying the inevitable.
Yeah.
And after a four-week trial, the prosecution rests its case. The jury deliberates for 4 hours. And I think they were just trying, I don't know what they were talking about for
I know.
He's guilty on all counts.
Right. We got to make it seem like we're talking about something back here.
Right. I'm sure they were like, why wasn't anything done sooner? Where was Sarah Lawrence?
Exactly.
Lee Chen, get your ass in here. Like, you need to answer for your crimes.
Yes, I couldn't agree more.
And the FBI guy is like, oh, Sarah Lawrence must hate themselves.
Is it just me or did they not tell us what I had to look it up. He gets 60 years.
Oh, they did. Yeah, they did.
Okay.
Yeah, they did it at the end in all the on-screen text. That
Okay.
Like, maybe kicking him out of the dorm wouldn't have changed anything.
Yeah.
But maybe it could have. Maybe it would have stopped some momentum. Maybe it could have
saved... Or it could have saved one or two of them.
Claudia,
you know what I mean?
Like, maybe kicking him out, I don't know what it would have done, but it would have done something.
But more than anything, it would have taken accountability. It would have just said, like, hey, we're a college. We need to keep our kids safe
right.
here. You know what I mean?
Like, you can't let a 50-year-old set up shop in a living room on a dorm.
Even if it didn't go this badly, there's no reason a 50-year-old person who doesn't go to the school should be allowed to live in one of your dorms.
I don't understand.
No matter what happens.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Their statement to me is bullshit.
Okay, great. I totally agree. And then, you know, I love that Dr. Yanya kind of ends it by being like, I've studied a lot of cults. This might be the worst I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
Because of how long it was persisted. Claudia was trafficked for 5 years.
5 years. So we get like some updates about people. Daniel Levin published a memoir called Slonim Woods 9, which is the name of the house that they lived in. Felicia finished her residency. She's now practicing medicine. Santos and Yalitza Rosario have also been reunited with their family. Claudia has been reunited with her family and declined to be interviewed, but her lawyer asked that we recognize, quote, she's a real person who did so much more than what Larry Ray did to her. Stand up louder for the fucking people in the back. Talia was named an unindicted co-conspirator, but she was never charged with a crime, and she, of course, declined to be interviewed. Isabella pleaded guilty to conspiring to launder money. So on January 19th, 2023, Larry was sentenced to 60 years after being found guilty on 15 charges, racketeering, conspiracy, extortion, sex trafficking, forced labor, and money laundering. And then it ends with, if you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health crisis or emotional distress or a suicidal ideation, reach out to the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, formerly known as the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline.
Amazing.
You can text 988. There's like, this is, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Oh my God, that's all I can say.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, girl, we did it. I didn't know if we were going to get through it. That was wild.
It's a lot.
I watched it twice, like back to back.
Yeah.
I had to take a nap after, like I said.
Yeah. Hey, Larry, we hate you.
We hate you, Larry.
And Lee, I'm not a fan of you either.
No. fam, join us over there on the Patreon. Just a reminder, join us for the drag bingo that we do over there, our Patreon hangouts, our 450 full after bonus episodes.
Yes.
Right now, we're back doing The Curious Case of Natalia Grace season 2.
Yes. Then we're doing Twin Flames. Then we're doing Quiet on Set. We're doing it all. I promise you.
What are we doing next over here, girl? Oh, God.
It's a tough one.
Okay.
The Girl in the Picture.
Oh, directed by Skye Borgman.
It's a lot of twists, a lot of turns. There's a lot happening here, but it's very highly requested, and we will get into it for sure. And there's like more to the story too. Like,
oh, really?
Thank you, TikTok. There are like people who were involved who are speaking out. It's like a whole thing.
Oh my God! All right, well, stay tuned for the trailer for that, fam, and then our hopefully funny and hilarious outtakes, rage-filled outtakes.
We're back, baby.
I know. We love you, fam.
We love you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
We discovered that they changed their names. He took her around to strip clubs to make a living for him. There's a big question here. What happened to Sharon Marshall?
As an investigative journalist, you tried to get down to the truth.
All this information, very simple to analyze, and we had a real problem.
This is more than just a crime story. Who is this girl?
She went by many names.
We had a portrait of very different people.
This beautiful young woman was trapped in evil.
She was stuck and didn't know how to get out.
What happened? And who the hell is she?
You You're telling me there's not a party at Alpha Beta Gamma right. tonight that you'd rather be at?
I know.
But even I went to the Alpha Beta Gamma parties.
God.
I know.
We are told, reminded again, this is going on for months. It wasn't overnight. And I'm like, very fair point. Your roommate's dad staying over literally did happen overnight. I'm just saying, that first thing was overnight. Literally yeah, overnight.
It was literally overnight.
So this is when I texted my parents.
Yeah. What did Till have to
because
say?
Because I was like,
I can hear your mom, Till.
My mom was like, awful. So I was like, let me just, I did like a 10 sentence yeah. synopsis of like my, picture it.
Yeah.
I'm 19 years old. I'm in my off-campus apartment.
Yeah.
I tell you, hey, my roommate's 50-year-old father is now living in our living room. P.S. I hate you.
Yeah.
I'm not coming home for Christmas.
Oh, and he also has moved into
he's,
my bedroom.
Yeah, he's moved in with me and he's stroking my hair a lot and he's helping me.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, is probably not what was told. Yeah. I'm saying the Christmas conversation,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And my dad goes, and I quote, the 50-year-old weirdo jerk idiot should have been kicked out from the start. And I said, thank you. This is what I'm saying.
I love. How did you say that word? Those two words? Thank you.
Thank you. The 50-year-old weirdo jerk idiot should have been kicked yes. out from the start.
Oh, my
so
God.
So my dad, in my dad's mind, we shouldn't even get this far.
Exactly.
What are you talking
about?